Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new episode of Flesh Wound Farce, where we review and discuss your and our favorite comedy films. This is the world's first and only combination trivia host and professional wrestling announcer of Chilean descent that currently resides in Southern California, Ozzy V. And with me as always, first Flesh Wound producer Todd, chilling 9 times out of 10. How you doing?
I'm chilling.
There he is. Exactly. And also with us, world famous juggler, Greg Larson, in which congratulations are in order, in which the fan you are, team of the George Kittle jersey you're wearing with half Niners colors and half Raiders colors. I appreciate that. Oh, yeah. Going to the NFC championship. No, I mean, you know, it's cool. Whatever. I get it. I'm not hating, but the San Francisco 49ers will be battling the Los Angeles Rams in the NFC Championship game, which will be this coming Sunday. You excited?
Totally, man. Like, it's been interesting. I honestly didn't think we'd make it past Green Bay, but it's been an exciting time. Football's been great this weekend. You know, I don't think there was a bad game this weekend, so I'm excited to see what happens. You never know where it's gonna go.
And I apologize, sure. Ladies and gentlemen. This is not going to be a complete episode about football, but just the last thing for those listening on the audio version of this program, Greg, you're wearing a Chicago Bears hat. Is that correct?
No.
I can't tell. I can't tell. I apologize.
No, it's okay. It's a Game of Thrones hat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think with the angle, like, it looks like the Bear logo. I thought that was because
now I see Gould. It.
Now, yeah. For those, actually, Todd, you would appreciate this. Kicker that, you know, won the game, and the kicker actually grew up shortly out of Chicago, right? In Illinois. He played for the Chicago Bears, divisional rival, the Packers, but afterward, the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers comes up to him and says, "Yeah, man, you're a effing legend, man, F the Packers." And a mic picked that up. And oh man, I became like such a huge fan after that. So now I want the Niners to beat the Rams. And as I said, I wouldn't necessarily root for the Niners, but when somebody gets in my face about, well, my team's going to win, like literally like, it doesn't have, well, this girl that I'm about to reference did point her finger in my face. Oy. And that was, she said, when the Rams win the Super Bowl, remember my name. And I'm like, when they don't, remember mine. I'm not stupid enough to say when the Raiders win the Super Bowl. Come on now. But So now again, I'm forced to cheer for the 49ers because I haven't had a 49ers fan get in my face. Luckily, Greg, I haven't had our former acquaintance Brian around me lately. So this is why we've gotten to that result. Now, just to further along the storyline, I'm pretty sure I brought this up. I swear we're going to get to this week's film, not another teen movie, but I just have to bring this up because it involves a prank, not necessarily a prank, but just kind of a revenge kind of thing, a humorous thing. So in the office that I come into just to catch people up after the Raiders lost, somebody in my face said, "Hey, how happy are you that the Raiders are out of the playoffs?" And I looked at her in the eye and I said, "How long have you been a Packers fan for?" She had a big Green Bay Packers sweater on. She said, 2 years. I said, "Okay, you better pray that the Packers win because you have no idea what door you've opened." So I plan on doing this tomorrow morning. We're recording this Sunday, January 23rd. So by the time this airs, this would have already been executed. I plan to get donuts for the office, everybody, right? So, because I bet $20 on the Niners to win. So thank you for the Niners to win. I won 20 or X amount of dollars. So I'm going to buy donuts and I'm going to ask ahead what favorites everybody's are, right? I'm going to get those. I'm going to put them in. And then as she's eating this donut, I'm going to tell her that the money I won from betting against the Packers are what purchased the donuts. So the taste that she has of her favorite donut is the taste of Packers defeat in a playoff game in Lambeau Field. So my plan is now the taste of your favorite donut is now paired with your favorite football team's loss. That's what you get for not opening. This is what you get for opening your mouth. I mean, I think this is fair. Don't throw rocks at a guy who's got a machine gun.
And you can even say a donut is like a zero, which is the amount of times the Packers have beaten the 49ers with Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs.
That would be ideal, so long as her favorite is not a apple fritter, a jelly donut, or a Boston cream.
Then you just ask, have you seen Van Wilder? And you're done.
And see, him eating the eclair was just like Aaron Rodgers' performance against the Niners. Just all over the place. All over the place. All right. Okay. We've enough stupidity. We're going to get onto this movie, which is actually even, I think, matches the stupidity that we just had right now. Not Another Teen Movie, rated R, released on December 7th, 2001 by Columbia Pictures, with a runtime of 89 minutes. Pardon me. Todd, trailer.
All right.
It's a dream come true. It's the moment you've always been waiting for.
Kiss me out of the big. I'm okay.
It's not another teen movie. Prepare yourself.
Road trip.
For a movie that goes where every other teen movie has gone before.
I heard there's some undercover reporter posing as a high school student.
Do either of you know where Mr. Keller's English class is?
Only further.
We saw you at our practice, and I know you stole our routine.
We've always done our own cheers.
Well, then you better bring it.
Oh, it's already been brought-in.
We're black, we know it. We shake our big booties and show it.
Can I get a whoop whoop?
Columbia Pictures proudly presents The Popular Jock.
Here.
Tip.
You can keep it.
Melanie.
Hey, Jake.
Hey, Arthur.
The Token Black Guy.
I'm just supposed to smile, stay out of the conversation, and say things like, damn, bling, bling. And that is whack.
And the cruelest girl in school.
I've never even been kissed.
Close your eyes and wet your lips.
Are you for real?
Oh, that is whack.
This Christmas, if you like scary movie, who gives a damn?
Damn.
Not another teen movie.
What in God's name's going on in here?
We were just sitting here.
I don't want to hear it, mister. You just bought yourself another detention.
That's not fair.
You just got another.
Good.
You through?
No.
That's another one.
So?
You just say the word, I'll keep going.
Go!
Eeny, meeny, miny.
Mo.
Your cousin was a...
Ho.
He was a famous clown.
Bobo.
I confused.
Shut your hole, Wang Chung.
And, I'm in a little bit of tears right now just because that line, shut your hole, Wang Chung, for those unfamiliar, song Fire in the Twilight off the Breakfast Club soundtrack by artist Wang Chung. So, holy cow. So this was starring Kyler Lee, Jamie Presley, and Chris Evans. Yes, that Chris Evans, for those listening to the audio version, Captain America Chris Evans, where I first saw Chris Evans, 2001, my senior year of high school. So this is the perfect movie for me to watch at that time, going into my initial thoughts already. I enjoyed it a lot more this time around because at the time that I saw it, I hadn't seen actually The Breakfast Club at this point. I thought about watching some of these movies before, but I wanted to give a perspective from a viewpoint that did not see the movies Pretty in Pink or 16 Candles, just to give a review on that.
There's not a lot.
Well, isn't so the sorry, I'll get into initial thoughts with you guys, okay, and we'll go into the meat of it. Todd, go ahead.
Loved it. I was already familiar with most of the stuff going in. Like, I grew up 80s, so some of the newer stuff, like I think I've seen stuff like She's All That, but all the jokes hit for me. This is like post 2000 parodies. There's not a lot of great ones, in my opinion. And this one is. It's one of the great ones.
It seemed to be one of the last of a dying breed.
Yeah, there's, you have this, the Scary Movies, but they, those after two fall apart.
So. Greg?
Yeah, this, I remember really loving this movie when it came out. And, you know, so going back to it, you know, it's one of those things when you haven't seen a movie in a long time and you go, have I changed? Will this movie hold up? Like, do my tastes still hold up with this kind of movie? Do I need to smoke before watching this movie? And, you know, I was very happy to watch this movie again and be completely sober. And I was like, this did hold up. I was very, very entertained throughout the whole thing. And this was one of those ones where I was surprised and it was difficult to pick a favorite part from this. Not mm-hmm. because of there not being, but there being too many.
Right. I have actually a whole bunch written down here. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the movie, I think what makes it so great is that it combines the plots of like four teen movies. You have Pretty in Pink in there, 10 Things I Hate About You, She's All That, excuse me, and one other that seems to escape me right now.
Can't Hardly Wait.
Thank you. There it is. Can't Hardly Wait, She's All That, 10 Things I Hate About You, Pretty in Pink, and it has Varsity Blues in there as well.
Yeah.
There's a few others too. I know.
I would moments. Categorize them as more like illusions. When yeah. you actually look into the actual plot of the movie, it right. like takes in like from here, here, here. But again, like even referencing American Beauty at one point,
right.
which came out like a couple years before the American Beauty came out in like 98, 99, Todd.
So yeah. Right. And then we, you know, of course, American Pie.
Oh, exactly. Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Which is a through storyline also.
And just one thing I wanted to speak on real quick is the opening of the movie. I think was probably ahead of its time. Cause at around that time, you didn't have a lot of female sex jokes.
Yeah. It was different for the time. But Bridesmaids and all
exactly.
that. Exactly.
Now, like with Bridesmaids and all this other stuff, like that being like a huge thing. So the seeing this scene now is like, wow, this is even better now. Cause like at the, when you're watching in the theater, you're like, oh my God, is this okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was such a shock at that time. But just to get into these favorite moments again, it's hard to pick one. So I'll actually go last. Cause I have a bunch of stuff that okay. I can draw from. So
I got a few too. So you want to drop one now, then go around?
No.
Okay. Afraid you're gonna take them all.
Greg, your team's advancing to the NFC title game. How about you go first? Because my
all right. team didn't. Well, so you mentioned one of them just now that was a probable answer was that opening scene. But since that's kind of been said, there's a moment where at the party and she jumps into the pool and then gets out and like. Jamie Presley comes by and as she's soaking wet, the insult is to like pour some water on her. Yeah. And that's followed by this horrendous, like crying and running around the pool, going the wrong way, coming back. And then the slow clap that's awkwardly timed. Like it was just a KO punch with that last moment.
And then adding to that, who came up, to explain the slow clap was Melissa Joan Hart, yeah. star of Clarissa Explains It All, which right. was just like, see, this, there's some she was layered also stuff
in,
here.
She was also in Can't Hardly Wait.
Right.
Wasn't she in Cruel Intentions as well?
Which, no, but that's another one that is touched upon in here.
Right, right.
With the, right. Again, tons of allusions, but you have some core... even some moments aren't like necessarily moments, but just like some kind of nods here. Actually, Todd, I should jump into your favorite line or moment before I go into these because I might.
Okay. I got two because they both kind of been alluded to because it kind of brought up the Cruel Intentions thing. There's the line where the sister asks, you want the top or bottom? And his response is, you're my sister. And she's just like, only my blood. And I lost it. And another one was just a background ADR line also. In the opening scene, it's the little boy. He's in there. He's like, it smells in here. My shit.
See, and that last thing you said was kind of actually the first thing on my list was the off-screen lines in this movie just like come like every every scene there's one and they're all like perfect to hear. Also some like tiny bits was seeing, you know, obviously John Hughes High. John Hughes director from all these movies, but and then you also had Henry Dean Stadium, which is where they were playing football, and Henry Dean Stanton was in Pretty in Pink.
Yeah.
But the one that made me laugh the most out of all these notes was Anthony Michael Dining Hall.
Yeah.
The Anthony Michael Dining Hall was brilliant. But in terms of the stuff I got written down, the opening scene actually wasn't written down, although it did make me laugh. Where you had the English teacher explaining what humor is and what follows had me laughing pretty hard. It didn't bring me to tears. It had me laughing pretty hard. I had to watch a couple times. But then actually what followed shortly thereafter was the cheerleader auditions, which that had me in tears. Just, yeah. I think this was the first movie I'd seen Jamie Priestley in. And watching it, you got a sense that I think this was her first role in a comedy that she really had a chance. Like, oh, I don't have to be the, you know, focus on being the sexy girl. I can be funny. I can be, she fit along with that vein, like the Airplane crowd or the Naked Gun. You know what I mean? Like she went full force and it in that scene was just absolutely brilliant. And of course you had the Sally Sue, the cheerleader with the, I'll just leave it at that because it's a good surprise. But sorry, go ahead, Todd.
No, I was just saying the Jamie Priestley thing. She was also in Can't Hardly Wait, but like she also did the Jerry Springer Ringmaster movie too before this. Anyone remembers that?
Well,
should I put that on the to-do list?
We will have to, yeah, because I haven't seen that. We may have to have a disclaimer beforehand.
Yeah, we might.
Oh no, yeah. Well, maybe. Oh yeah, depending on your things here. Now, just outside of all the one last line about a parody thing is everybody's dancing at the prom and it's you'd never expect that everyone in the school is a professional dancer. But outside of the whole parody thing, there's a particular line said by Randy Quaid, who plays the daughter of the main character.
So good.
And he's trying to console her about like what she should do about this guy who she thinks is attractive, whatever. And after he gives it his advice and he gets up, he says, there, I feel better now. That was great because that was a line that didn't have to rely on any parody. That's just a humorous dickhead father thing to say. Like, all right, I feel good. Like, I did my 2 cents. Oh, man, I was dying. So, however, I did have to actually take a break from this, from watching it. Like, about halfway through, there was a point where, stuff was coming a little too hard.
Whoa.
That did not
That was the beginning.
Right. the humorous points were kind of overwhelming, similar to that of an Airplane or Naked Gun, and maybe I wasn't expecting it as much because I think the last time I saw this was in the theater, like 20 years ago. But at the same time, the fact that they were able to pull in all these other plots in and just kind of mesh them together. Also, which, by the way, Lyman Ward, father from Ferris Bueller, plays the Chris Evans dad, which is also got a kick out of. But anyhow, the fact that it maybe like didn't have the same pattern, like maybe it was trying to overload. Like if I could give an analogy. Like if you're making like an ice cream sundae at like a dessert bar or whatever, right? You put on your one scoop of ice cream, you put on like a topping and whipped cream, that's it. And then like maybe next time okay, I'm going to do some more stuff. So I'm going to put like two scoops of ice cream. I'm going to do like three toppings, and then I'm going to put just more stuff on it. And you almost like felt like, oh, this is too much. I got a small sense of that. So that's the only reason I'm not giving it a 5, but I'm definitely giving it a 4.5 just because, as a comedy, of course, as a movie, I mean, come on, but it's a complete parody, but 4.5 enjoyment factor. How about you, Todd?
I'm double checking what I noted down. Thanks. I'm 99% sure I put 5 down in my thing, and I put 5 down. So yeah, I'm a 5. That's what I thought. That's what my gut said anyway. I've always liked this one.
Yeah. I don't know why I can't give it a 5. Like I just don't feel it should be. Like, it was really funny. Like, it was a great movie, a lot of fun. And I laughed so hard, especially when you start it the way you started it. And that cake flopping around like it did. God, man, that was too funny. You know what? Yeah, I'm going to give it a 5. You know, it's just, I just can't figure out why I shouldn't. You know, I just laugh too hard at it.
That's what I'm doing. 2022, I'm rating off my enjoyment of the film. Is it a 5, like, as a movie? I can't tell you for sure. But right, my enjoyment was 100% a 5.
That's fair.
Ozzy's thinking. We're not bullying you into it, Ozzy. If it's a 4,
I know, but like, I'm hearing what you guys have to say. And
we're right.
I mean, like, I'm not, it's not like I'm trying to be like trying to come up with a counter argument to actually argue why you guys should not give it a 5, but more just like, do I have anything that would be an argument to that?
Well, you said you had to pause it and take a break, so
that's why I paused.
I also think I know what it is. I think I honestly know what it is.
Oh, what's that?
There's a high school dance scene, and Once Bitten just creeps in, and you just throw up in your mouth.
But you know what? I think that line could have saved it for Ozzy and Once Bitten too.
Yeah.
If you'd never expect that everybody at this high school is a professional dancer,
then Ozzy might have allowed it.
Huh. That is interesting. Well, we'll just have it. We can all agree. We all recommend it, and there's a good chance you're probably going to want to see this more than once. How about that? Yeah. Is that fair for all of us to agree?
Oh, for sure. All right.
Todd, where can people watch this fine film?
Right now, it's streaming on Netflix. And you can, now, rent it or purchase it on Disney.
That is the rated version that is on Netflix.
Yes.
We'll get into that momentarily.
Yeah, the unrated one's kind of hard to find because it never really made its way to digital. It's kind of left on DVD. It's one of those Sony ones that they weren't, that like just incorporated the deleted scenes. They're not like director's cuts. And for some reason, none of those got it. Made it to high definition.
Got it. Well, just a note on that. The review here was, I mean, it was for the unrated version, but there was only two major differences that I noticed. Todd, I don't know if you have anything that you could add to.
There's a couple like extra scenes, but if you pull them out, you don't even notice them. They're just little extra gags.
Right. Like specifically you have, I actually do want to say one thing real quick, because I can imagine somebody maybe of the female variety who sees a lot of the gratuitous nudity and is like, well, this isn't fair. But then I will say, ladies, you have Captain America with whipped cream over his nipples and his dong. That's it.
But they didn't get to see America's ass, so they're not happy.
That was even better.
Yes.
I would actually, if you are a fan of Naked Gun, Airplane, these types, I would seek out the unrated DVD and put it in your collection. Can we agree on that?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Maybe that's how we should start ranking. Because everybody does 1 through 5. We should do tiers that say, go out, buy this movie. Yeah, watch it once.
Rent it.
Avoid at all costs.
Yeah.
Rent it's one. Yeah. Rent it. Buy it. You're going to love it. You're going to hate it. And then we have a special category that's like Ozzy really hates the Ozzy rant pile.
The Todd's favorites stack. Actually, you know what? That's the bottom with Dan's favorite.
We should call it the Dan pile. Now, before we get into final thoughts, one final thought I had is I so badly want to have Chris Evans and not Jamie Presley reenact a scene from the movie, but it'd be hilarious to see Chris Evans and Margot Robbie in one of these scenes, just because you'd have Captain America and Harley Quinn. Just, that's just me. Greg, how about final, like, any final thoughts on this one?
You know, this goes along with the Scary Movie and all those, and I think they're all done by the same people, right?
This one is not, because
I apologize. I didn't mention the director and writers. Director was Joel Gallen and was written by Mike Bender, Andrew Jacobson. And I don't know if there's any relation. So, Todd, I know you're going to, you know, react. Adam J. Epstein.
I have no idea.
is credited as a writer. I don't know if there's any relation.
I'm sure that we know it.
Especially being a teen movie. But sorry. One of us had to.
I know. If I did it, it would have been an issue. no relation. It's just, you know, that okay. Era.
It's just a coincidence.
The first two are
there's a naked
Wayne's
senior year high school girl throughout the
that's the whole American Pie joke.
Right. Yeah, I know. I get it. It's still kind of, you know.
I'm not going to complain about seeing Sierra Vincent. Even though she is a good actress, she wouldn't be able to tell from this movie.
Well, I mean, she had to go through multiple accents. So there you go. But anyway, I'd seek this out. I'd purchase the DVD.
Go watch it on Netflix right now if you haven't seen it.
And there you go. You can judge from there. So, Todd, did you have any final thoughts? Greg, I think I asked you, yeah?
Yeah.
No. Check it out.
All right. And that was Not Another Teen Movie. And next week, we'll be back with the new episode of Flesh Wound Farce. Should be Groundhog's Day. In celebration of this upcoming Groundhog's Day. Starring Bill Murray. Looking forward to that one. And we'll be getting that out next week, next Monday. And, of course, world-famous juggler Greg Larson, Flesh Wound producer Todd, and I'm Ozzy V. We'll see you next week right here on Flesh Wound Farce.